Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, where improvisers who've never roleplayed before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. I am the Grand Wizard Bukake, your host. Our heroes are separated and at war with an army of Strahds inside Castle Ravenloft. Alan and Quinny are battling Strahd Prime and an army of sycophants. Reginald agreed to marry Merle Streep, and the two just destroyed the castle's heart. And Notpeter Baelish almost died saving Hawaiian Strahd from a fall that's left him mortally vulnerable. Can any of our heroes survive their lone battle with the undead? Find out next on Dumb Dumbs and Dragons.
So Strahd Prime is stalking toward Alan and just muttering, under his breath, like, "You know, you women are all the same. You know, you don't recognize a good thing, and we were having a pleasant conversation, and you had to be all demanding. Oh, I hate my
He's
father. Oh, I hate you
for a really long time. Can I just throw a fireball at him?"
No, this is as the lightning's on him. No, you can't have a free fucking turn. Get over yourself. And Alan, to your horror, as he's walking, his flesh is beginning to regenerate, like the lightning wounds are just sealing up. And he says, "Fuck it. When in Rome." And then he leaps at you with his claws and teeth bared. So what is your AC right now?
I react with shield, naturally. Mm-hmm. So my AC is 19.
Yep.
Not so squishy.
It's Strahd.
All right, all three hit. So the strikes are...
Fuck!
All right, so that's 8... that is 12, for a total of 20, and then the bite is, 5, just from the bite itself, and then an additional, 11, of piercing damage as he bites into your neck, And, yeah, you are now grappled.
25 and 11 is 36, right?
Yeah, I had 40. So, you know, still on my feet with 4 HP.
Strahd is clinging to you with his teeth buried deep into your neck. You know, you've vampiric touched a lot of people over the years there, Alan. You've never had it happen to you this way, and it sucks.
Yeah, I also never pierced their skin. What the hell is this? Unnecessary.
Also, the last amount of damage I said you took was, I believe, 11?
Yes. Yeah.
Your maximum HP is reduced by 11. As he begins to drain your life essence.
Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah, wow. The motherfucker drinks souls.
All right. Oh, Alan.
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Yeah, Strahd looks about as healthy as when you first hit him with lightning.
For the record, okay. We're all just looking at Laura very concerned. This is a very tense silence on our end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to interrupt her possible last moment.
Aw, fuck this shit. And I just dimension door into the foyer.
Okay.
Because grappled or not, motherfucker, I'm going through a portal of my own. And you're not coming along with me.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. So you dimension door into the foyer.
Oh, no.
Too late.
Oh, no.
And you hear a crack of stone as eight gargoyles descend upon you. Not Pete. You are currently Jean-Claude Van Damme out a window holding on to your dear love Hawaiian Strahd. There are six pissed off vampiric thrall Vistani closing in behind you, along with an armless cyborg who's hella pissed. What do you do?
Okay, we can all agree, first and foremost, this is not how any of us pictured this hangout going. Hangout? It took me the whole
dinner. It was good.
Thank you.
He says through his frozen teeth.
Okay, so I need to get the fuck out of Dodge because at the very least, like, I mean, I'm doing better than Alan is doing. Not Pete knows that, but me, Cat Letwin knows that. Mm-hmm. However, so there's no way really to escape through the window. So what I'm going to do is how close are the Vistani to me right now?
They're closing in. Like you ran through all of them, so they're having to close in. They're probably about let's say 10 feet away.
Okay. So
I will also say I want to give you one more piece of context here. I rolled a save for Hawaiian Strahd, and you feel him go limp in your arms, and then he just looks up at you and winks. And his hips begin to sway in a vaguely hula way. And his arms come up and he goes, ah! And then he starts hovering.
I am just and then he so just says, in love and impressed.
And he says, go get him, honey. And then he just like helps push you back up through the window.
Oh my God, this is amazing. So, not that this actually helps anything to do with like my attack or no, you know what? I'm going to use, my inspiration point, because the power of love has made me more powerful. Mm-hmm. So with that, tell Same me what to
they Go are ahead. In an arc around you as you're pushed back up through this window, just an arc of people moving towards you.
And as I see this arc of people coming toward me, I know what it is they don't know about me. This entire time I was with the Vistani, yeah, I told them I was a lawyer for a little bit, you know, just for a little bit. But they have no idea how I really won the case. And that, of course, was with Thunderwave.
So they need to roll saves, I believe.
And when you look at them, you just see the pale, translucent skin of seven incredibly elderly women.
Papery thin skin upon which I wrote my legend.
Okay. I made a bunch of rolls. Only one of them was a 15 or higher. So that is five blasted Vistani.
And can I, like, just like a cool anime guy, like, let's imagine that the camera, like, zooms in on my mouth and my goatee and my mouth at the same time corks up like a one-sided smile and whispered like a secret that becomes known, Thunderwave.
And as they're rushing in, Swank, Guineer turns to Kuala Lumpur and Steve with a PH and just says, "Haha, I know how trials end, and there's nothing that can stop." And then he sees you say it, and his eyes go wide. And like Mugatu at the end of Zoolander, is just like, "The legends were true. The prophecy is fulfilled. Thunder what?" And then he's like smashed by a wave of force. So five of them are just fucking tossed. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay. Just a second. I just gotta look up damage for Thunder Wave. I know no one really, really enjoys Imagine Dragons, but someone somewhere on an organ is playing Thunder, Feel the Thunder, Lightning and the Thunder.
It's Isabella. Dun, dun, dun. She's like, "I really hope this helps not Pete. I actually don't know if this affects any of his abilities, but he had belief in me that I could play the organ, and damn it, I hope it works."
So, I'm just going to read this to you quickly. Yep. On a failed save, a creature takes 2d8 thunder damage at higher levels when he casts a spell.
What level did you want to cast this at?
So if I go as high as possible, does that mean I'm spelled out? I can't use anything else?
No, so on your sheet there, let me just pull it up. It'll say how many spell slots you have. So the higher the spell, the fewer slots you have to cast at that level. But what is your highest... One moment.
You mentioned six.
I think it's level. Six, yeah.
Yeah, so if it is... So you could cast it at level six, and that would just mean you can't cast any other level six spells, but I believe you were going to ask me about disintegration, which is really fucking good. So maybe don't waste your six level slot on this, like you could burn a fiver if you want. If you really want to end this pretty hard.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you've got two slots for fifth level, so...
Okay, so let's end this here now. Let's use fifth level. So that means for my roll, damage increases by 1d8 for each slot level above list. So that's 3d8. Added to the original 2d8.
So 2,
okay.
3, 4, 5.
So that's 5d8.
5d8.
Okay.
68, according to Ryan.
5d8.
Well, if it starts at 2, and then you go 2, 3, 4, 5. Plus 2 is 6.
Oh, yes.
68. You kids and your math. Well, let's light see what happens. Total of 32.
So as they're all rushing, the blast hits them. And only Squeegee manages to stand strong against it. But you blast flesh off his arm as he kind of holds it in front of his face. The rest of them in slow motion are just blasted out in an arc where they all drift through the air for a moment before slamming into the variety of bamboo luau steaks that Hawaiian Strahd had set up to really set the scene.
So sweet. I hate it so much.
And as they writhe and die, you just hear...
It's like our two person... It's like watching our two personalities mesh. Like,
yeah, exactly. You watch Greedo Speedo the Nido Guido just say, "Hey, I'm a free!" You see the spirits of the trapped Vistani finally put to rest, aside from Squeegee, who's still just fucking hanging in there, begins to march angrily towards you. But you did blow up the rest of them, so very good. Very well done. Quinny, Alan disappears.
Great. What did I do? Oh, yeah, I flipped over the table to get into a corner. The corner that I went into is the one that holds the anchor for the chandelier over the dinner table. So I cut that, and I catapulted myself over the table to the entrance, creating a big fiery barrier between me and a bunch of vampires, and I run.
Into the same room Alan's in?
Well, did we go straight from the foyer into the dining
room? So there's like a little entrance hallway, foyer, dining hall behind the stairs.
Okay, I basically wanted I didn't see what direction Alan went in. I just saw she
disappeared. That's a good point.
So I'm the only directions I can think of is did not Peter Baelish and Reginald like exit in the same direction when they left?
They didn't. That said, from where you're standing in the corner, you can make out where you would assume kind of the stairs down would be if you want to try and head towards the crypts, given that was the piece of the puzzle that's currently missing.
Yeah. But again, I have nothing, no special weapons or anything, so I guess I'll go down there anyway.
Cool. So as you flip up over the chandelier, you see Xanthus just kind of waving like, come on. The chandelier crashes down into the meticulously well-set table, and as the rest of the vampires like recoil in horror, one arcs through the air with tremendous grace and precision, with his katana drawn, and he just kind of comes like flying down towards you with his blade up. Which will bring us to the end of your turn. Cyborg Strahd watches the Vistani get blasted away, and he says, "Inconceivable! A thunder wave!" and then he just shakes his head at you and he says, "Oh, not Peter Baelish. Resistance is futile." And then he's going to try and bull rush you out the window. So I need a constitution save from you, please.
Okay. Did he? Oh, no. 7.
All right. He runs mid-leap, he actually transforms. His robotic parts and his flesh parts turn lupine and become a wolf, and his robotic parts shift to match. And as a cyborg wolf, he fucking slams you out the window, and the two of you begin to fall.
No.
Reginald, you just blasted through the heart of Strahd. Tower explodes, and you kind of hover above it, with Donkey Jr. kind of like hanging below you, just coughing from the stench. and Meryl Streep is like slowly following, but her flight speed isn't great. Looking down at the palace, you can see an explosion out of one of the windows as a cyborg wolf drives not Pete out the window. What do you do?
Sorry, how far below us are they?
You blew up the tower. They're probably about 30 feet.
Here's a random question, Tom. Mm-hmm. Can someone voluntarily fall and then begin flying again?
Buzz Lightyear's taught me anything. That is entirely possible, yes.
Great. Then I want to go down to grab Not Pete and then try to haul Not Pete out of this shitty robot asshole's hands.
As you begin to fall, you realize that your fall speeds being relative and such, you're not actually gaining on him, but you remember that you were recently propelled by the power of Sunscythe, which is still like trailing epically in your hands as you begin to drop.
Hey, guy in my head, can you do this with me? We gotta speed the fuck up.
Okay, you're back now.
We missed that, Ryan.
God damn it, just a second. I gotta make a note of when this is. Hey, guy in the sun scythe, can you do this with me? We gotta speed the fuck up.
Is that one of your friends?
Yeah. We did. Not the robot one, the other one.
Oh, yeah, fuck that. Let's go. Once again, the voice just yells, "Golden Flame!" And with extraordinary flatulence, you're blasted forward. And suddenly you're, like, rocketing towards them.
Great.
And the blade is trailing fire.
Oh, wow. I want to aim so that I hit Not Pete, so I can grab Not Pete, and Donkey Jr. will hit the robo-vampire and kick them.
Okay, yep. Can you go ahead and roll me a ranged attack, please?
Uh, 22 to hit.
Ooh.
That'll do, nice. Reggie. That'll do. you slam into Not Pete, sort of like scooping him up. And Donkey Jr., as he falls, just like flashes back to when he had to be deployed during a particularly delicate operation in the Donkey Wars, when he and his fellow donkeys were para-dropped into a wolf's den. And he just remembers Jonesy, the young donkey serving with him, being like, "He snarf!" Which, of course, means, "You think we're going to make it, Captain?" And Donkey Jr. was like, "He snarf!" Meaning, of course, kid, you're going to make it home. And then just falling with his parachute, thinking, "If only I could donkey kick, I'd be so happy." As Jonesy was blasted out of the sky. But this time, there are no wolf-led anti-donkey craft weapons. And so he just heels back and with all his might just fucking boots the robot wolf in the side and just yells in donkish, like, "Take that, you lupine son of a bitch!" Even though this is not the wolf who fired the shot that killed Jonesy, he feels as though Jonesy has been avenged. Meanwhile, he ain't no fortunate donk. Cyborg Strahd is knocked off of Not Pete and just begins like flailing, and it's full like Hans Gruber meets Sandman Falling Apart, where it's just like different faces, T-1000 style, like trying to transform into a bat. But like you cut off his arms, so like he doesn't really have that capability. And you just watch him like careen spinning off into the mists.
So cool.
Hey, so how's it going?
Fucking cool. You know what? Really good now.
Nice. I got engaged. Have you met Merle Streep? Merle, you can come down now.
She's like, "Ah." And Hawaiian Strahd's like, "Ah." And she says, "Oh, wait, you... him?" And then he's like, "Wait, you, him?" And they're both like, "Ah, you." And then we all high five. Yeah, you all high five.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just high fives, high fives. Like just a circle of flying high fives.
It ain't me. It ain't me.
That fortunate son is just blaring. And then you hear the sound of flesh being hit by stone, and you think maybe, just maybe, it might be time to go check on your buds. Bringing us to top of the round.
Okay, back inside. Just float back in the
sure.
window.
Strahd Prime begins to. He just kind of looks to you, Quinny, and then you see his head kind of twitch, and he grins and proceeds to dimension door after Alan. So he appears in the hallway. The gargoyles are descending, and he just kind of stands at distance. He just says, "There's nowhere in this castle that you can escape me, Alan. I hope you enjoy Disney's Gargoyles as much as I did, because it was a hard-hitting finale, and so is this." The gargoyles on his initiative sweep down and take attacks.
What? Not on his initiative? No, I just wanted to do one thing, goddammit!
He has legendary abilities!
No! What a goddamn thing!
He can only activate three. I rolled 2 3s and a 10, so you are very, very lucky.
Okay, good.
The gargoyles are swinging. You're just kind of like ducking under them. He's kind of like applauding sarcastically, which brings us to Alan.
Okay. And I think I'm like, I just kind of pause because I remember something very suddenly. I look up at Strahd and I just say in a very Bilbo Baggins way, like, "What have I got in my pocket?" And I thrust my hand into an inner pocket, mm-hmm. and I put on the ring of Igneous Plantir.
Oh! All right. Immediately,
that's something. All right.
Your skin begins to crackle and burn, but you feel no pain as fire begins to trace its way across your body, and you just go full like halfway to Human Torch. So your hair ignites.
Guys, my heart is pounding right now.
Yeah,
all of ours are.
You don't know how to control this ring, so.
Oh yeah, ahead. This was a total Hail Mary.
Understood. Go ahead and do what you want to do, and then we'll see what the consequence is.
Yeah, we'll see if it's full of grace and if the Lord is with you.
See, Quinny, now you should be afraid.
Also, Alan, can you roll me an insight check, please?
Now's a good time to be afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the closest.
16.
As you were idly flipping through the Tome of Strahd, you seem to recall just how much vampires hate sunlight. And you know, you're not really sure if the Ring of Igneous Plantir is sunlight, but it's pretty close.
Sunlight! I don't know.
And as you thrust out your fist,
do something, Ring!
You lurch forward towards him, flying the way you saw Captain Plantir fly earlier. His eyes kind of go wide as you like burst through a gargoyle. You actually see him like stagger back a bit. Your entire body begins to burn and you feel fiery wings burst from your back, your body becomes a sunspot and you hit him. There is a tremendous blast that shakes, the foundations of the castle. The Reginald, from kind of the elevated position as you guys are starting to fly back in, you see the entire front, of both Ravenloft and the mountain it's on crumble in just a sunburst of fire and flame. And for a moment, you see a burning after image of massive fiery wings, and then the entire space collapses in on itself. All of the glass in the entire castle explodes, and the tower that you sort of burst out of the top of crumbles. Back inside, not Pete, you're kind of being like drifted back in through a window as all of this is happening. The entire space is shaking. Hwein Strahd is like, oh shit, I think the big guy just went down. We've got to move quickly if we're going to end this. He can't die unless you through his heart. We got to get downstairs. Fast.
Lead the way, friend. I think it's time to put down one mean son of a bitch.
So the unlikely alliance of Hwein Strahd, not Peter Baelish, Reginald Tingler, and Meryl Streep, the Vampire Queen, begin to sprint towards the crypts. Now, the fastest way down is actually to leap through that massive hole in the collapsed tower. How confident are you guys that you can land?
Reginald can fly. He's 100%.
Hwein Strahd puts out his hand and just says, do you trust me?
And not Peter Baelish takes his hand and says, I trust you.
And he says, that makes one of us. And then he leaps. Merle is just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then she gets her other arm. The four of you kind of like halo drop down into the abyss.
Beautiful.
So I'm like a little kid, like that's getting like swingsies from its parents. Like,
yeah, basically. I was gonna say, and you look to your right and you just see a hanging donkey getting the same experience. Like it's just you and the donkey junior.
And then I just say like, it's a living.
Bringing us to Quinny. So Quinny, you and Xanthus are rushing down into the crypt. You hear crypts being punched open as you run. You enter into a massive space that almost looks like in like a sci-fi movie where there's like a bunch of cryogenic chambers in rows. but all crypts, and just the tops of these fucking stone coffins are being punched off, and creatures are starting to crawl out of them and towards you. And Xanthus is like, "We should move. We should move." And he starts just like whipping magic missiles as you go, but they are closing in quickly. Quinny, you don't know where Strahd's tomb is, but you have robbed some things in your time. Can you roll me an investigation check to see if you can get your bearings?
It's not good, I'll tell you that. 8 plus... Oh, the font got so small on my PDF. 8 plus 5.
Yeah, Strahd will do that. So you're having some difficulty. Xanthus also doesn't know, but he just seems to be looking around. He's like, no, this is all wrong. There's nothing down here that's ostentatious enough for Strahd. And looking around, you agree. You can see sort of a small room with kind of a king and queen statue that looked like they might have been rulers at some point. And there seems to be like a small, kind of disused, very bare dirt chamber with a single coffin in it, sort of off on your right. But otherwise, there doesn't seem to be anything that would be ostentatious enough for Strahd.
I think because of how ostentatious everything else is, I think it's a humble beginnings situation with Strahd. I think this is a guy who can't seem to like let go of the past and stuff like that. So I think he doesn't change things like his death or where he's buried. He obsesses over it instead, and builds a castle around it and a kingdom out from it. So one lonely coffin in a solitary room seems like a good enough bet to Quinny.
Cool. I'm also going to say Isabelle's with you guys because I don't think...
I was about to spend stress to make sure the person with the wooden stake was here.
Yeah.
I was like, great. Please no.
Let's do that. 5 stress. You did it. Yeah, she's with you. The three of you rush into the small chamber. You actually notice that it's a very simple wooden coffin. And there are deep divots from seemingly multiple different sizes of claws. All over this thing, like it's scratched to shit, but you can still make out a very simple carved letter S.
I'm not really taking much time to observe or do any kind of hold any reverence over like, oh, it could be the is it the coffin? Yeah, is no, it not? Totally. It's just fucking lid. Up and over.
So you flip it up and over, inside there is a smallish skeleton that seems perfectly preserved. And he looks a bit like Strahd, but a little younger and a little less severe. And you realize from kind of like staring at him that this isn't him. But then Isabella looks in and says, "By the gods, Sergei?" And slowly the corpse begins to rise. All right. Cyborg Strahd fell off a cliff. Reginald, you are soaring downward. What's going through your head right now?
He is super into Meryl Streep. He's realized this is the answer to almost all of his problems. She is deadly. She is committed to him. She is obsessed with power. She's established the plans. She does make sense. Like, he is as close to all in as he's ever been on that. They just need to kill Strahd to make sure that she's clear to go. And then she's in the party.
Cool.
He's like, he'll make him kill him before I let him kill her.
Understood. As you fall downward into the darkness, a red mist begins to fill the space. And Hawaiian Strahd is like, oh, fuck, he actually can do that. We're going to want to hurry. That's him. We got to get to that coffin now.
What?
And as the mist surrounds you, it actually attempts to blast all of you against the walls around it. Go ahead and roll, I guess, con saves.
Okay.
I'll roll for Hawaiian Strahd.
21.
14.
Okay. In an interesting twist of fate, both Hawaiian Strahd and Meryl Streep fail. And they're both blasted through the walls and out into darkness. Not Pete and Reginald, the two of you continue to fall. And for a moment, through sort of almost a slit in the wall, you see Xanthus with kind of fire glowing in his hand, and Quinny and Isabella sort of looking at a row of coffins and crypts. And then you fall one level deeper. And you enter a massive subterranean chamber. It's very much Gandalf and the Balrog dropping. Like, it's fucking huge. And you realize you're in the very heart of the mountain. Beneath you is a massive stone chamber. The floor has been carved in intricate runes. And there seem to be sort of a bunch of standing stones in a circle around a large broken stone arch, in the middle of which is a massive stone coffin carved in the exact likeness of Strahd, only three times his size. The mist is quickly rushing down towards this and sort of starting to seep in through the sides as the two of you land next to the coffin.
All
right, no more fucking around. Get that icon out. And Reginald will flush his system of the mutagen that makes him fly, so he no longer has disadvantage on strength and dex from that. And then he's going to crack his charm of heroism, casting Bless on himself and not Peter Baelish. So we now add a d4 to all attack rolls and saving throws.
Sick.
As long as we stay within 30 feet of each other.
Cool, yeah.
And he'll just extend Gold Flame. He takes like three deep breaths because it's like a dark room. And you just, you're like, and then it's just like, and you get like it's Darth Vader in Rogue One, but with like a golden scythe just spinning up.
And I've got my talisman as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just like.
Not yeah, Pete, as you hold up your talisman, you actually notice the mist recoils from it.
So I'm, yeah, I kind of, like, as soon as I notice that, I kind of shove it in the mist face.
Yeah, right in his stupid face.
Yeah, face. So kind of, like, spin in a circle with the talisman held out in front of me. And I look at Reginald, I'm like, all right, let's do this. And can we lift the cover off the...
I was going to say, if we want to try to do it hero style, what if we simultaneously step forwards and just kick it to try to, like, boot the lid off?
Yeah, let's boot it off.
Not Pete, I believe you have an ability that will give you slightly more strength if you are feeling so inclined.
Ooh, I'm always feeling inclined, as it turns out. What's that ability? Just remind me real quick.
I believe it is a potion of giant strength.
That's right, I haven't been able to use my costumes, but... I say, don't worry, I got this. And I take out, where is it? Oh, I've got a crowbar as well. This is great. So I take out my potion that gives me the strength of a hill giant, and I take out my crowbar. I guess I just hold the talisman in my teeth. As this is happening, and then gently like transfer it to my hand, and then like pop out the potion, chug a lug a ding dong. I throw it just because I can, and it's so satisfying when I see the glass potion. Not only does it shatter, but it makes an indentation in the side of the wall, and I'm just like, that nice. Is some hill giant strength. And I got the crowbar, and with the talisman in my teeth. Just with the grace and ease of a ballerina who's been practicing, I crowbar the top of the coffin off, and it just it shatters because I'm so strong.
Which is incredibly badass. Unfortunately, what is starting to rise out of it is also incredibly badass.
Uh-oh.
But
I'm so strong now.
You're going to need it. You see Strahd, for the monster he has truly become. Massive, elongated arms, fingers as long as your normal mortal-sized forearms. huge, grotesque visage with like a double hinged jaw full of fangs, blazing red eyes. And just as this creature starts to claw its way up and out of the coffin, you realize that though you may have defeated Strahd, now you face Super Strahder. Meanwhile, Alan, you've watched as the entryway has collapsed. Mm-hmm. And though you still feel yourself as a presence, you no longer have line of sight on your body. You no longer have any corporeal feeling at all. You can feel yourself drifting up and away in the same way that you can see kind of Strahd's mist escaping. You kind of like reach and flail downward for something to anchor you, and there's nothing. The power of the Planteers, a sort of family of wizards who have been wielding this power literally for generations, was too much for your corporeal body. And you just kind of hope against hope that maybe somehow your friends will prevail as you begin to drift upwards towards the sky. And as you do so, you see a figure climbing the rubble. He seems to be just a bald man with a fucking really, really good Van Dyke, walking with just a fairly simple staff and a book under his arm. And he reaches down into the pile of stone, and he just lifts up what looks like a fistful of dust. And then as he begins to sprinkle it, a smile spreads across his face, and it twinkles in the light. That's when you realize you're seeing sunlight. And a smile spreads across his face, and he looks up directly into where you would imagine your eyes are, and you recognize Mordenkainen, and just smiles at you and says, "Oh, Alan, I knew you'd do it." And then he picks up the Ring of the Planteers that you dropped. He holds it up in front of himself, and he simply blows. And in a rush that disorients the fuck out of you, you fall out of the back of the ring into the rubble, quite inelegantly. And he says, "Honestly, not bad for a first time. Want to go kill a vampire lord?"
Yeah.
"Cool. Well, come on, apprentice. No time to waste." And with that, an archmage and his apprentice begin to storm the palace.
I'm an apprentice!
Quinny.
And alive.
Sergei is sitting up in his coffin, and Isabella, you're starting to almost see double. And the image of Tatiana is drifting in and out of her body. And you start to realize that this is Strahd's brother.
I had him completely wrong. He's super douchebag ostentatious. He's got a really wicked, sick gravesite somewhere. This is his brother that he hates.
Sergei just looks at you and says, "It's true. He's an asshole. If you want to find it there," and he points to just a minor point that you hadn't noticed before, but inlaid in the back of the wall, there's one of those sigils that was on all the tapestries that Notpete saw. He says, "My brother's true resting place is down there amongst the portals. And me, you've reunited me with my Tatiana." She's like, "Well, not yours." And he's like, "Yeah, you know what I mean." And she's like, "Yeah, I know, it's been a while." And as the two reunited lovers merge into one brilliant light, both Isabella and Sergei disappear. And Xanthus is like, "Okay, I gotta tell you, Quinny, I've lived here a long time. This place is just full of strange." And he just picks up the stake, and he's like, "So what do you say? Do we go find an ostentatious crypt and wreck it, I guess?"
"Absolutely we do. Help me jam this coffin up against that door before we go." Just make a barricade.
I like the cut of
all
your
the
jib.
Other Strahds coming after
he,
us.
Well, now they're about to go fight some wizards. Yeah. So he spins up his floating disc and sort of thrusts it towards the door, and it shoves Sergei's coffin and just like rudely dumps the bones that are now no longer inhabited by a dead spirit, just like crudely out into a hallway, but it jams the door. And as he does that, you go and press your hand against the dragon. And as you do so, the wall begins to shake and open. And beneath you, down a sort of an, yet another large room circling spiral, you see Not Pete and Reginald facing off against a true fucking nightmare monster.
How far down is that?
It's about a 60-foot drop.
Well, this is either going to hurt me or someone else or both of us when I do this, and I just jump down and take out my sword and descend.
So you begin to fall at an incredibly rapid pace, just dropping like a stone. And then suddenly you feel your descent slow to a manageable distance. And looking up, you can see Xanthus casting Featherfall on you.
And I'll give him a thumbs up.
And he kind of looks at his hand and realizes, he's like, oh, yeah, I can do that too. Yes, good. Quinny, gotta tell you, Superstrahd does not know that someone's dropping down from the ceiling. Gonna give you some fucking advantage there, brother.
All right. If I'm falling slowly, do I do this right now or does this happen?
Do it right later? Now. You're like, he didn't. Okay. He slowed your descent enough that it won't kill you.
Oh, okay.
But not enough that it won't give you the, you know, down B Smash Brothers piece.
Okay. Then out comes, well, I have Frostbrand, and I'll activate, or sorry, Frostbite, and I'll activate the poison damage on it for mm-hmm. this one. Mm-hmm. Uh, 27 to hit.
Oh, baby.
Yes.
Okay. And the poison damage is 1d8. Strut, son of a bitch. Let's see. That's 10, 14, 18, 20, 7 plus 6, 30,
5, 33?
37 plus 6, 33.
Damn, son. Sound 43. Hit.
43, thank you. 43, sorry.
All right. You drive the blades directly into his back, and you feel this creature sort of like scream in ancient agony.
Okay. I lost the poison effect on my blade, but that's okay.
Honestly, if there was a time to use it.
Yeah.
I got to roll his initiative. Oh, he is low on the order. All right, Reginald. Superstrahd stands before you with a Quinny in his back.
Reginald will just turn aside, looking heroic with like a glowing weapon and a giant monster in front of him to Not Pete and just say, keep me alive and I'll never stop. And then he just turns to the scythe on the other side and thinks, and it's like you saw him look heroic and here you just see that he's terrified and panicked and he's like, you son of a bitch, this one's for all the marbles, he thinks. Then he bites his tongue, which he hates doing but has to here, and he spits his blood onto the blade and the whole thing bursts into flame in his hands. And now he's charging forwards to attack the monster with the sun scythe.
Go ahead.
Let's see what fucking happens. Oh, Quinny, welcome to the Bless Aura. You now get to add 1d4 to all attacks and saving throws if you stay within 30 feet of me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was an aura. That's cool.
Yeah. Hey, friends. It's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dum Dums and Dice, support the show, it's going to be great. Oh, yeah. All right, that is a... Oh, my God. That's so weird to roll a 19 and have the D4 be a 1, so it's I technically rolled a 20, but it's not. And then that's a 31 to hit.
Oh, okay.
I think I get him.
I grant you.
All right, sorry, just looking at damage stuff. Okay, so with this hit... I am casting my brand of castigation. If you hit someone with a righted weapon, I sear a brand into them, which is in the shape of the symbol of Baba Yaga. So there's a bunch of stuff there, but the interesting thing is it takes psychic damage if it hurts an ally within 5 feet of me. It can't change shape without passing a test, and I know where it is if it tries to escape. So I can't polymorph and other shit. There's a bunch of weird hunter shit there.
That's I gotta tell you, that's a good piece for this guy.
This
surprise.
Is literally the fight this class is born for. A skill set he never wanted and just used to get out of a different job. So this is against undead, right? Yes.
Wait. I never said he was...
Ha!
So... It's six. And it also... Righted stuff, I think, does extra damage. Oh, it does. Okay, so I do... 20 radiant damage plus an additional 4 fire damage. So 20 radiant, 4 fire from the first strike.
Cool. Ooh.
To charge that weapon up cost me... Oh man, I bit the fuck out of that tongue at 8 HP is the cost for this.
Damn.
Ouch. Did you bite off a part of your tongue?
I think he didn't mean to, but yeah, it's he's going to be dealing with that for a day or two.
I think
after
he's going to have a lisp for a bit.
No, take that, you son of a bitch!
That's what, that's what restoration is for.
Yeah, and then the second hit, which will come to... That's 28 to hit.
Yep.
Excellent. And then because he's I rolled a 1 for damage, but I get to reroll because he's a great weapon fighter. Okay, that is 6. That's 19 radiant damage plus another 4 fire damage. So we're talking like big monster, but it's just huge, like scythe sweeps overhead. It looks like the cover of a video game, basically. There's just a little guy with a big sight swinging at a huge creature.
Totally. You hear the voice of Sunscythe just say, "You said this was for all the marbles, right?"
"Yeah, man. This thing's big."
"All right, well, I could feel how hard you bit your tongue, so I guess I should pull my weight, too." And then the scythe trembles in your hands, and you just hear a booming voice yell, "Golden Shower!" And Spirit Guardians is cast.
Shit.
A golden sparkling rain begins to drop upon Strahd. So just keep track of that. You know how that spell works, but that's what's up. Cool. That brings us to top of the round. Fucking Strahd, man. Reginald, you're right there. That said, one enters, starts its turn there, so I gotta take a wisdom saving throw against, that sucks. Okay, so Ryan, can you roll me a 3d8 radiant, please?
Oh, yeah, baby. That's 23 damage. That's 2 8s and a 7 on 3d8.
My God.
Well done.
Just this, the shower is just burning the fuck out of Strahd. He just fucking grabs you with his massive hand and just like straight into the mouth. So go ahead and roll. What's your AC right now?
19.
Fuck me. A 5 and a 3. He goes to just chomp down through your middle, and you just jam the scythe out, and you just kind of bites into the blade. He's kind of holding you like fully upside down, like he's fucking Kronos eating his children.
With that horrified expression on his face.
Oh! Yeah.
Saturn truly devours.
So, Alan, you and Mordenkainen have just finished killing the dance strads who just really walked in at the wrong time. And he just kind of tilts his head and he's like, oh, hey, I think your friends might be fucked. And I think not Peter Baelish might be my son now. So I really need you to go help them. Listen, there's a mage maneuver. I'm not sure if you know it. Are you familiar with a mage's purpose?
I've never been a part of it before, really, but...
All right, all you got to do is leap off my back. I got you, all right?
Yeah, okay. All right,
good luck. I'll take care of the rest of these clowns, especially that fucking scuba guy. And then he drops to one knee.
And I back up a few steps and just that sprinting leap.
And as you do, he just kind of like twists his hands, and suddenly you see a window into the crypt. And you fall through it and land squarely next to not Pete. You see Reginald with his scythe jammed in this thing's mouth. You see Quinny just fucking like stabbing the back of it. You see not Pete holding like a tiny crowbar in a hill giant did up body. What do you do?
It's so big.
Sorry, who's on... Sorry,
Tom. What's on second? Who's on first? What's on second?
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm on him, and he's holding Reginald?
He's got Reginald in his hand. His hand is Reginald-sized, and he is trying to bite through Reginald, who is in his mouth with a scythe up, blocking his jaw from closing.
Good Lord. Fuck. Can't lightning him. Can't cone a cold. Can't fireball. Because I'm going to fucking hit everyone else. So I guess... I don't know. 7 magic missiles. Fuck.
Nice.
That's awesome.
I don't know. Just like... I don't know. Right in his... I don't know. Heart area? I don't know. I don't know how this works.
Sure. Shoot him in the heart. Never the wrong call.
Yeah.
5, 10...
Give him arrhythmia. 12. Just
shoot him in the heart 15. When he's threatening you.
Shot through the heart, Alan's to blame.
15. That's 30 damage.
Damn!
Oh, hell yeah.
I got 4 of those 7 were 4s.
So you just begin to like just with all of your pent up rage and also your inability to know how to like not him. It's like in a mech video game where you're just like micro rockets, just like throw the magic missiles out to the side. They arc around Reginald and then all just converge on his heart. You actually blow a hole in his chest, and you can see a blackened thing covered in throbbing green veins pumping. Which brings us to not Peter Baelish. You see Strahd's black heart as your friends wail on him. What do you do?
I think it's time for me to try and stake him through the heart.
You look down to the tatters of your hurdy-gurdy hanging around your neck. And you reach for one of the expandable, flip-outable legs. One of the only remaining undamaged pieces. You realize it's jagged enough.
Oh. It's just some jagged little hill strength.
All right, go ahead and roll a melee attack as though you're using your rapier, please.
Jagged little hill.
Actually, you can add your strength rather than your dex.
Monster.
I don't care who I hurt as long as it's us. Could you repeat again what I'm rolling?
Yeah, absolutely. Make a melee attack, add your proficiency bonus and your strength bonus, please.
Okay.
And so add a D4.
And a D4. Yeah. So a D20 plus a D4 plus your proficiency modifier and your strength modifier, which will be higher because you've got Hill Giant strength. Oh, damn. Your strength score changes to 21 for 1 hour.
Holy shit. So oh, my God.
I believe.
That's a modifier of plus 6.
Oh, nat 20, baby.
Well, then the rest doesn't matter.
So, nat 20 plus 6 plus probably 4 for your proficiency. Not
plus a D4, but fuck it.
You sprint forward feeling the blessings of your newfound family, of your friends, and clutching your portable hurdy-gurdy, thinking of, you see all the, like, the spirits of the Vistani that you freed, giving you, like, thumbs up from the side.
This is totally that moment in Sailor Moon when all the other Sailor Senshi, like, put their hands on her wad, or it's the Sailor Moon R ending where it's like the power of love is playing in the background, like, you've got to believe in,
In order to save your heart, Hawaiian Strahd, you must end this one once and for all. What do you say as you plunge the stake into his heart?
Okay, not Pete has fucked up his one-liners so much throughout all of this, and he realizes it was practice for this. This is the big one. This is the one that he was waiting for. As he, in slow motion, approaches the heart, his goatee twitching, like kind of like his body like twisting in the air as he jumps in that kind of way where like all his best features are like anime style, just like totally showing off. As he goes down to stab through the heart, he just says, because he's learned not to be a tryhard.
And with that, you slam your hurdy-gurdy deep into the heart of Strahd, and he begins to cough and choke, and his inside begins to invert into a swirling pit of black fire. And as he does this, Reginald, he kind of pulls you out a bit, enough to get a proper swing. So just like cranking back with the scythe. Do you yell anything as you do this?
Yeah, probably. I feel like he's also very scared, though, so he's not sure what to yell, so he just yells something he remembered, I think, not Pete yelling earlier, and he just goes, "Nice to meet you!" And then he swings the scythe into the guy's head.
So you swing the scythe, and with a clean, sweeping, flaming arc, you cut Strahd's head from his shoulders. As his body continues to twist and invert and fall inward, with Alan just fucking continuing to pummel magic missiles. And Quinny, you're just kind of like stabbing all the way down to the ground to make sure he doesn't get back up.
Yep.
In a swirling burst of dark energy, Strahd is dead. Moments later, Hawaiian Strahd comes rushing into the room and is just like, "I got him! Oh, shit!" And then he looks at Nappy, he's like, "Oh, hey, all of your best features are showing in a really anime way."
And Not Pete just like, we've wasted enough time, like strides over to Hawaiian Strahd and like dips him down and just like kisses him so hard. Fireworks go off, maybe.
Yeah, that's the magic missiles that Alan's throwing.
Yeah, magic. Yeah, like going out, everything's in slow. Like, it's just, my God.
You're under, like, a sparking golden shower in the style of, like, a Michael Bay movie. Like, yeah, they're just pinging like, off.
It's sparks.
Like, yeah, it's the Umbrella music video. Yay. It's truly spectacular. Reginald, looking around, you don't see Merle anywhere.
Aww.
Obviously the day is won. So as Strahd kind of burns away to nothing, a number of things happen, and we'll kind of go through all of them step by step. There's the epic kiss, of course, between Hawaiian Strahd and his love, not Peter Baelish. Reginald, I assume would sprint off in search of Merle Streep.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So
I'm blessed. I'd be so good at looking.
Yeah. So you
and
rush
I'm a
off.
Master of tracking undead, weirdly.
I mean, these are all bonuses. You kind of rush through a number of rooms, and then you find the sort of master bedroom, for lack of a better term. And as you enter, Merle is stalking towards a woman you recognize from the portraits as Tatiana, but also Bryn. Who is just yelling extraordinary profanities out of an iron box. And Merle just kind of turns to you and says, well, you were right. And she just kind of like points to a wedding dress that's hanging up. She's like, so what do you say, handsome? Shall we have a wedding feast?
Wait, do you mean like we're going to go downstairs and have a party? Because that sounds pretty good. I mean,
oh, yeah. Strat's but first I'm going to drink my my nemesis here dry. She stole an award from me. That really rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, but like at the same time, like someone just fucking Super Saiyan an explosion at the front of the building, and that's who we would have to fight next. Can't we just save this for the future? Like let her go away, age the meat or whatever?
Look, I can't deliver a ring to the Plantiers again. This is my shot and I'm taking it. You can either help me or this is over.
See, here's the problem. I'm more afraid of Alan than I am of you. And then there's just like a... and the scythe comes out again.
She turns and she's like, I have such fucking bad taste in men. And the two of you leap at each other. Mordenkainen steps into the cavern. And Alan, he just like rushes over and just gives you a huge hug. And he's like, you did spectacularly, particularly for someone who literally dematerialized and became ethereal for a bit. Pretty good recovery. You have a very talented friend, son, Quinny.
I just take a break from kissing. Hawaiian straw, just be like, no, but like keep it back in, and then like go back to kissing.
And Mordenkainen's like, oh no, the devil Strahd, he's charmed you. And then he raises his hand.
And I just put my hand on his arm and just kind of lowered a bit. I'm like, I think this might be okay.
Oh, good Strahd.
I think this is an okay Strahd.
Dressed like that?
Believe it or not.
I mean, I did wear a leaf diaper for a bit. I suppose I shouldn't judge.
Well, I mean, he hasn't bitten her. Him. Shit. Sorry.
Well,
he hasn't bitten her. Peterson's like, it's cool. You know what? I am pretty fluid like that.
Yeah. Mordenkainen just kind of nods and says, well, all right then. And then he looks around and he's like, I can't believe we have liberated the chamber of Ravenloft. This is it. This is the junction point, Alan. The place through which all worlds collide. We did it.
Oh.
Then he looks over at the tomb and he's like, ah, fuck, he broke the big piece. Okay, well, almost did it. But, Alan, the famed gateway of Ravenloft, it's the key to other worlds.
Okay, but I'm sorry. I'm, like, really tired and, like, I feel like if I just, like, stumble, I'm gonna die.
Shit, yes, of course. And then he just waves his hand and your health is restored.
Oh, shit. Well, thanks.
I'm very good.
Wow. So I'm really trying to make sense of this here. Like, we got portals all over the world, and what's here?
Well, this is the safe way to do it. Barovia exists at a cross-section of ley lines between all the dimensions. It's how all the Strahds were able to coalesce here. It's why I was so desperate to liberate this space. This is a junction point, a gateway. We can use this to access other dimensions without tearing holes through them.
Oh, wow.
And then he kind of considers it, but there has been a considerable amount of damage and evil influence on this space. I must think on this. Give me a moment. Cut away to something else. Quinny, you're standing in the wreckage of this body, the kind of shredded corpse of Strahd, and you realize Reginald's been missing for some time.
Yeah, also, where is Bryn?
So you go in search
of the person we came here to save.
You kind of follow the trail of blood, for lack of better tracking, And you find a door that's partially ajar. And as you push it open, you see blood everywhere. The walls are soaked. And you see Reginald standing, cracking open a massive iron cage. And Bryn emerging from it, just kind of nodding to him. And then she sees you and she greets you very warmly. But then you notice Merle Streep just shredded on the ground. Reginald, you help Bryn out of the cage, and then you turn to see Quinny kind of staring you down.
Did you do this?
Yeah.
When you left with her, was this the plan?
No.
What happened?
She was gonna eat Bryn. And I had to do the right thing. You know, you guys might be rubbing off on me after all.
Bryn kind of nods and says, like, you know, I know that sounds like bullshit, but that's actually what happened. I was pretty sure I was dead.
Well, you have my gratitude. I mean, thank you. What did she say, Merle Streep, you know, when it happened?
Well, I mean, it started with, I don't want to get another ring for the Planteers, and then I'm going to eat her. And then there was just a lot of hissing and claws and how dare you, I'm prettier than you are. And it kind of devolved once the stabbing started, as it usually does.
Right. Wow, you know, I kind of thought she had it made in the shade after she really, really screwed us over, but it sounds like she was still just as desperate for power as she ever was. I honestly didn't know that about her.
Yeah, well, some people are just good at violence and everything else is hollow.
Well, she's dead now, so you don't have to worry about her, hollow as she was.
Mm-hmm.
And Quinny will...
Her. And then he'll just kind of walk past it out. Like he's done with, her.
Yeah. So with that, with Bryn in tow, who is like admittedly pretty fucked up from being in a cage for a really long time.
I'd want to make sure she's all right.
Yeah, she's like limping, but she's probably going to be fine. Plus, Mordenkainen is clearly very good at healing.
That's true.
All of you... emerge from the wreckage, like the end of Ghostbusters. Barovian citizens are applauding, the sun is shining on Barovia for the first time in generations. After that, several rather important decisions were made. Ravenloft needed a new ruler. Reginald was correct. There was no way that it would manage to survive. And with the possibility of an intersection between dimensions, perhaps the ultimate way to make sure that villains such as Strahd never rose to power again, and admittedly a perfect conveyance for the Vistani, not Peter Baelish and Hawaiian Strahd were declared the new rulers of Barovia. Their wedding was so incredible. No one remembers a thing because the amount of villains who showed up meant it was a rager. But the important thing is stability has been brought to a long tormented land. Standing amidst the broken arch of the teleportation chamber deep below Ravenloft, Mordenkainen turns to Alan and he says, listen, I know you've told me a bit about what you and your friends are trying to do about the other Xanthus. And Xanthus kind of says, like, thank you. Appreciate the consideration. he says, it would seem that the the collide your friend is concerned about, and also the fact that you yourself were trapped in another dimension for so long means that we need to get these gates back up and running now more than ever. But it will take tremendous magical power to fix this place and to power it. I know you and your friends are on a quest, and I respect that as an old adventurer myself. But I think with you and I working together, we might be able to restore these gates.
Yes.
Okie dokie then. Well, welcome aboard, apprentice. And then he kind of winks and nudges you and he's like, soon to be partner. Oh, come on. Let's go mop up some gates. And with that, Alan, you became the portal mistress of Ravenloft.
Fucking awesome.
Unexpectedly, what? Leaving the domain of Barovia, the kingdom of not Peter Baelish Luau, and his partner, Hawaiian Strahd Baelish Luau, are two unlikely companions, Quinny and Reginald Tingler. Reginald, you take a moment kind of watching the sunrise and reflecting on the monster you came to love and destroy, as well as the power you now wield. You now weirdly do have a companion that you can somewhat trust, aside from Donkey Jr., who of course was the true hero of the day. Mm-hmm. But in Sunscythe, who, speaking of, as usual directly into your mind, says, it was quite a thing you did. It's brave. Hard, but brave.
Well, Sunscythe, considering you're the only one who can hear me and no one else knows what you think, here's a dark truth. None of that was brave. Zod would have 100% killed me, and I teamed up with someone that would have probably killed another group member beforehand, and in the end, I betrayed somebody who probably would have looked out for me, not because it was the right thing to do. I don't know Bryn or give a shit, and if Alan doesn't, why would I? I did it because I was more afraid of Alan than the monster. This is what I did back in my homeworld. You just don't die enough that people think you're a hero.
He says, look, man, I got a level with you. I'm a god who was so scared of what was going on with my little, like, circle of gods that I turned myself into a weapon that I thought braver people than I would wield so I wouldn't have to deal with any of the shit. I am literally good at destruction. And not much else. But here's the fucked up thing, bud. When I did that, I left the person I care about the most in the world open to the attacks and the intentions of a real fucking prick. And I think the fabric of reality might have gotten broken a bit, and I think that's kind of my fault. So I get that. I kind of want to try and fix that. And if you're looking for something else to do, maybe we could try and do that together.
Wait, so you're saying that reality broke and we're all going to die if we don't fix it?
Yeah, man, that's partially it. Also, I don't really know how broken it is or what's happened since. I've been stuck here for a really fucking long time. So what I'm saying is if you want to survive and I want to survive, two things need to happen. First of all, maybe need to fix reality. Second of all, trapped in this weapon, I can't do as much good as I could if I was out there. And from what I've heard about this, did I hear the word Plantier thrown around?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay, that's the guy. That's the fucking guy. That's the whole reason I'm hiding in this sword. He was part of my circle. He was one of the gods I was with. And, God, there's no real polite way to say this. He decided he wanted to marry my sister, and I didn't really want any part of it, so I just fucked off, and I think my twin sister may have been really fucked up about that, and maybe reality broke a bit. So here's the thing. You want to kill a god? You need a god. I'm a god. We got to get me out of this weapon. Problem is, she's the only one who can do it. So if we're going to fix things, we got to find Moonhammer.
Oh, well, fuck. I don't want to die. Okay, this is the plan, then. Fuck.
Cool. All right. Let's fix reality so we can be cowards together.
Oh, that sounds great. I really like that it's this honest up front.
Quinny, you're kind of taking a moment, I think. Then you turn and kind of walk back into the chamber where Alan and Mordenkainen are working. Incidentally, alongside their assistant, Xanthus, who is providing what help he can. But you realize that Alan's made her choice. And although it will be temporary, the time has come to say goodbye.
Alan, I'm heading out. This is it. I'm going.
Well, you know, it's, would say it's been swell, but most of it hasn't been.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's going to get a whole lot better anytime soon, but I feel better knowing that you're doing work here.
Yeah, well, you know, gotta get this shit running.
Mordenkainen just pokes his nose in for one hot second and says, once the gateways are back up and operational, Quinny, you'll be free to come and go as you please. All of you will be. We'll be able to transport you and your friends to anywhere they need to go. So don't think of it as a goodbye necessarily, more a see you in a bit. On that note, I'm going to make myself scarce because this looks like an emotional goodbye. And then just turns into a bird and flies away.
I got to say, that sounds really nice.
And look, I mean, I'm going to learn more about traveling through worlds. I mean, we got to stop the people who are creating holes in reality. Namely,
yes, holes in reality. Yeah.
Namely, my father. So I'm going to learn what I can here. Then I'm going to go killing some people.
Okay. I'll talk to Bryn. Maybe she can help us figure out what's going on with your dad. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you.
I'll miss you too. But like, dude, we'll see each other in not too long.
I know. It's just like, you know, Butthole's gone and I lost you for a while and I had you back and I thought that was great. And now I'm leaving you again and then I'm stuck with. I am working with this guy that, you know, it's not the same. And I know it's going to be hard work and stuff like that, but I feel like less of a king every single day, especially without friends like you to help me figure that stuff out.
Well, I mean, honestly, Quinny, I don't think I've really been helping you.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, you kind of just become less and less of a king while I've been around. So, you know, maybe just go, like, this is a good chance to figure your shit out. No offense. It's just like...
No. None taken.
You know, circumstances and such.
And maybe that's some good advice. Maybe that's the advice I've been waiting for, you know? And it came from you, after all. Good start. And I'll go in for a hug.
All right. Take care of yourself, buddy. And I'm just like patting the top of your head.
Yeah.
Cool. On your way out, despite Alan living in the basement now, the three of you have a chance to bid farewell to not Peter Baelish, Luau, before he starts the business of rebuilding Barovia into something that everyone can be proud of rather than scared of. So not Pete, you greet them in the shambles of the destroyed castle that is going to have to be painstakingly rebuilt. Still manage to find yourself a throne.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Eventually once this is done, I'll be proud to show off how it's rebuilt. I mean, Hawaiian Strahd is insisting on doing the interior decoration.
You just see him walk by with tikis under each arm and he's just like, hey guys.
Hey, babe. Hello, babe. I fucking hate it so much. And yet, I He's the love of my life. How do you love in life? Am I right? I have a dad. I have a husband. I have the best friends I could ever hope for. And I'll miss you. I'll miss all of you. Gwenny, I think I'll miss you most of all.
Me too, not Pete. You know, I've said before that I wanted you to be happy, and I've never seen you happier. So.
I'm giddy. tee-hee, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Look at this. Like, and not Pete, like, jumps up and, like, clicks his heels together to jig. And he's like, and I meant that. Like, I didn't do that sarcastically. I'm happy.
And I'm happy for you. I'm leaving. I can't stay here. So
I know. And not Pete pulls up a piece of rubble and sits down so that he's eye level with Quinny, but doesn't like, you know. And kind of like looks him in the eye and says, I hope you find happiness as well.
I'll try.
That's all we can do. Please know, though, once Alan and my dad have the portal system set up, I want you to come visit as often as possible. I'm always here. You know where to find me. Anything you need. Anything at all. Should you need us.
And then, like, Hawaiian Strahd comes by because he knows this bit. Like, we have bits now. And he's just like, and he's just like, yes, should you need us,
you know where to find us.
Thank you. And like a warm embrace. And Quinny turns around and heads out the door.
Before you go, something to remember us by. And not Pete's. Gives him like a stick of like that like Hawaiian like barbecue meat like on a skewer. Oh. Like
yep,
it's leftover from the we have so much food in the freezer right now, like it's crazy.
Oh.
I have no idea how it got there. My God, I blacked out. I give him that, and then I give him my ring of invisibility. And like press it into his hand, like close his fingers over it, pat his hand, and like, because sometimes to find yourself, you just have to disappear for a little bit.
Quinny can't help but like smile, and like a single tear like rolls down his cheek. It's like one thief giving another thief a ring of invisibility to help him find himself. It's just like. It's been a wild couple of weeks, and it's just getting to be a little too much. And I think Quinny goes in for like another even warmer embrace, yeah. Like sniffles in the shirt and stuff like that, and tears. And he just like quietly is like, thank you.
Just like from when we saw each other that Vistani encampment, just like, but more emotionally, just like,
there is intimacy here.
And I think not wanting to tarry any longer, Quinny heads out the door.
Cool. Reginald, you have your chance to say goodbye to Alan and not Pete.
Yeah, I think he'll go to not Pete first because he's known Alan a hair longer. And he'll approach the throne that is a piece of rubble that that was there. And he says, all right, so we fought together, which is pretty great, and we got you a kingdom. I was hoping you'd take over the power vacuum. It was a theory I had during dinner, and I'm really glad it worked out.
Power abhors a vacuum, and I abhor lack of power.
And I was going to say, you're one hell of a vacuum. You know, that's the wonderful thing about you.
It's true. Sometimes I really suck.
So, awkward advice. Right now, you've got Alan, who's going to hang out downstairs, who's terrifying. That'll buy you, like, 2 weeks. You need to start a militia, and then you need to start a military, because I need this place to be a functional bolt hole, and if you get invaded, it's of no use to me. So, please.
Of course. Right.
Well, get it safe.
Okay.
Don't be another Wallachia. You know, whatever that fucking place was called.
I don't think you have to worry about that. Don't worry, I will get right on it. And I just, like, not be, like, winks at his husband. And he's, like, even under his breath, he's just like, my husband. Like, he's still just so charmed by this fact. Like, and, like, just everything's great. So, not Pete, in the handshake, like, turns it into that, like, Viking brother handshake. And says, like, it was truly... I guess an honor? Not that, you know, thieves or bards really know what honor is. I mean, especially thieves, but especially bards. But if I could possibly know what it was, I believe it was an honor to fight alongside you. We had our disagreements, but we have our victories. And in the end, that's what counts. Would you like a skewer of meat? We have so many left over from the wedding.
Yes, I will take a skewer of meat. That sounds wonderful.
All right. Yeah, so I just reach over, give him one of those.
It's a plus one skewer of meat.
Yeah.
And then Reginald turns to leave and takes like two steps and stops as though you're going to ask him to look back to give him a present.
and not be just like waves.
And then Hawaiian Strahd comes in over your shoulder. He's fucking got this. And he walks up. And he just, like, nods at you and he says, brother. And then he slides a lay over your head.
Oh, that's great. I like you a lot. So, not Pete, awkward question now that you've got a castle. Can I have your tent?
What?
The glamping tent. It looks real nice. It'll keep me and Quinny comfortable on the road. I mean, he got a ring. I feel like I should get something.
You know, I was going to bring that up when we were talking to my dad. It just, you can't just ask for things and expect to get them. You either have to earn them through, like, trust or friendship or, you know, earning things. But he, like, sees, like, clearly, like, this doesn't
like,
register
like the thieves
at all.
Do?
Yeah, like, all right. I'm just as long, I'm keeping the fainting couch, but you can have the glamping tent. You're right, I have an entire castle. Make good use of it. Keep it clean.
Surviving things is great.
For once, I agree.
All right, Alan, I guess you're staying. You don't really have to say goodbye to Nutpee, do you?
No, not at all.
Oh, we'll be around. We're basically like, you know, we live in the same place.
Alan, you want to step outside with me for a second? I don't know, Nutpee probably doesn't need to hear this.
Yeah, of course.
Alan, we've traveled together for a while, and you are... horrifically powerful. And I mean that in the scariest, most I appreciate what you're capable of way.
That's nice. I'm not that powerful.
Sure. See, you right now you want to stop all the assholes. And you want to make the world a better place by destroying the assholes. Mm-hmm. And that's a great strategy that will eventually make you a tyrant. Because it's not actually building to anything. It's just destroying things you disagree with. And I come from a world where that's, like, the thing to do. And right now you've got friends. You've got not Peter Baelish. You've got Hawaiian Strahd. You've got Mordenkainen, not Pete's dad. You've got good people around you. I think you might need to find something to fight for. Because I mean this in the way that I hope scares you the most. If you don't figure that out, you got about a year until you're me.
What do you mean, you?
Remember how I'm scared of everything and don't trust anyone and will constantly do things that only benefit me because I don't have anything to fight for other than myself? Yeah, that's going to be you in a year. Just with none of the friends, they'll all be dead.
Okay. Okay. I just got to, like, tap you on the shoulder. Like, pat you.
Thank you. And I'll give you this
this gift, and I give her my tower shield, and it's very heavy. It's almost as big as she is, and I lean it against you, and I'm like, that's going to keep you safe for when you don't have that staff.
It's not that, like, I'm just like, I don't even think I can wield this thing, can I?
It's okay. You'll figure it out. It's good for practice. I have one last question before I go. Let's say Meryl Streep had murdered Bryn, and then I'd married her. Would you have killed me for that?
Sorry, what?
Let's imagine a scenario where after the battle today, you found out that Meryl Streep had murdered Bryn, and then I married Meryl Streep. Would you have killed me?
It depends on your reason.
Fuck! 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 And then he just, like, leaves.
Over her shoulder, Bryn's just like, fuck you too, Alan. and she sort of supported on Quinny, sort of limps off into the distance. And with that, Quinny, Bryn, Reginald, and the twin god Sunscythe made their way out of the no longer haunted domain of Barovia and set out to free the Queen of Hell.
This episode of Dumb Dumbs and Dragons features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Laura Elizabeth at EL Hamstring on Twitter, our amazing special guest, and our fantastic DM Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dumb Dumbs and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers, or at Decapitated Marker on Twitter, that's MRKR. Our theme songs are And Now for That Massive Coronary and Skipping Through the Orchestra Pit Part 1 by Peter Gresser, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. Now I'm off to do more magic. See you next episode! Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.